It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent RodHunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
This is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you wonder, did Jesus really claim to be the only way to God? Well, I know it's not politically correct or popular to say so today, friend, but indeed he did. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Now, I realize many people reject that idea, but it's not limited to Jesus. Today, anything having to do with truth is rejected. And who better to talk about it than the man as true can be blue? Say hello to Jim Barrier.
Wow, what a great introduction. And we are going to talk tonight about truth, or the antithesis. We're going to talk about things that people believe that aren't true. And but before we get into
now,
that...
How will that be different than last time? Because last time we talked about the lies liberals tell. What is going to be qualitatively different about this show?
Well, it'll be people in general, things that, you know...
Oh, last time it was limited to the politicians, and this time just the general populace.
We're going to talk about things that some Christians think are true that really aren't true.
Oh, I hate to say it as a Christian, but some of my fellow Christians believe a lot of nonsense. Not you so much, Jim. Not you so much.
But. Well, not me too much. We've had our disagreements, but very few over the years we've known each other, and they weren't disagreements of any great...
Nothing important. Yeah.
usually music stuff or something. But I want to ask you about a couple of things before we move into that. Did you see Joe Biden's speech in Warsaw?
No, I did not. I did not.
I did, and I'm gonna say this. I was shocked.
I did see. I mean, I should say I saw a quick clip of a portion of it, and I heard some commentators saying they were shocked. So I've heard about it, but I can't say I actually heard the speech.
Well, here's what I was shocked about. It's probably the longest speech I've heard him give, and he was coherent, articulate. He didn't wander. He didn't babble. He didn't stutter.
Well, that's because they wrote it all out and put it on the teleprompter for him.
Well, he wasn't. I watched it, man. I thought, he's looking all around. He wasn't even glaring into the teleprompter. It was shocking. Now, I didn't agree with most of what he said, but the fact that he was able to say something and not sound like a cartoon was shocking.
Yeah, he usually sounds like a blithering idiot every time he opens his mouth.
Yeah, and I'm saying this because, to be fair and to be honest, and again, don't make any mistake about this, I don't really agree with him, and he said some things that took a little bit of flack immediately afterwards. But the fact that he could speak so clearly that for at least a year now, and really more than that,
well, maybe they just gave him a nice woman to sniff while he was giving the speech, and we weren't able to see her. Maybe that sustained him.
I don't know, but I think it was one of those things, just so that no one will ever say that I didn't say something positive about Joe Biden. I will say he spoke very well in Warsaw. He didn't speak things that I agreed with, but his ability to speak in front of cameras and a crowd and do it for some length of time was very impressive.
Well, Obama had a great speaking ability. I never denied that, but he lied through his teeth, so I still had every bit as much of a problem with Obama.
Yeah, but we've kind of lampooned Joe quite a bit, and this one was shocking to me because I kept waiting for it. I was watching. I kept waiting. Okay, he's gonna say something really just crazy. He persevered.
Well, the real test, Jim, is the next day when they ask him about something he said. Let's see if he can even remember it.
Well, and they did, because they had to walk back some things because he said things that even his own people were not happy.
So what did he end up walking back?
Well, the biggest one was that he said, I can't quote it word for word, he said, my God, this man cannot stay in power, speaking about Putin. But so it sounded like he was saying we need to take him out or overthrow him. And of course, then they came back and said, no, he wasn't saying that. He was just saying that Putin being in power is dangerous.
Well, he's also talking about how we're a world community now and that's the new governing body. Yeah. So is that the way he's going to take Putin out, through the world community?
Yeah, and that was his appeal. It wasn't about America. It wasn't about the Ukraine. It was about the world order, which that's been going on for quite a while now. But at any rate, I just wanted to give credit that Biden, his speaking ability was the best I've seen in decades.
Okay, well, we'll give credit where credit is due. Give a monkey a typewriter. Yeah, sooner or later, he types a word.
Yeah, that's but I just wanted to do that for all those people who think that I'm not fair. And then the next thing, and this is a little more serious, but it's also ludicrous, Supreme Court nominee.
Oh, when they asked her to define woman? That one I heard. Oh, my gosh.
Dictionary.
And this is somebody that's going to tell us what our Constitution truly means. This is going to be one of the 9 chief justices of the entire country, and she can't define woman, which means she can define woman, but she's afraid of all the liberal powers that be, so she didn't want to define it. Oh, my God. I should say I was surprised, but I wasn't. I sat there and I said, well, what other answer does she feel free to give?
Yeah, and that's the troubling thing. We know that she knows. But the fact that she would not be honest about it.
Everybody knows, and nobody's being honest about it.
Well, this is true. Which will lead us right into our subject for the evening. And I already talked to Brendan about, you know, when I did my predictions at the start of the year, I predicted Duke would win the basketball championship, and they made it to the Final Four, which is something. And now I don't know if they will.
Well, one of your predictions coming true should be declared a national holiday, Jim.
That would be big, big news. And look, one more pop culture current event. You know, I don't know. Every year it seems like I'm on the show on Oscars night.
Yes. Well, that's because Oscars night's always on a Sunday night. But of course, you're not on every week. So that's true. It is kind of a coincidence.
And it's random. It's random. So I think there's probably something wonderful about that, because I don't know that you or I have watched the Oscars in
well
years.
And I was telling Brendan, and I said this last year over the air, I was a drama major in college. My undergraduate degree is in theater. I'm a writer, I'm a novelist, I've been in a lot of plays. I love theater. Oscar night for me used to be like what the Super Bowl is for a lot of other people, and now I am just so disgusted with them and disinterested. I didn't even know it was tonight. And when you brought this is going to sound like deja vu, because I know that when you brought this up last year, I said the exact same thing. I didn't even know they were on.
Yeah. Well, I just for those, now people that are listening to us tonight are probably not watching the Oscars.
Well, they wouldn't be listening to us if they were. I know that at least one of the movies that's nominated I saw and I liked, the one called Being the Ricardos, was actually an excellent movie, which these days an excellent movie surprises me. But that was really good, and I hope that does win something.
Yeah, and I to tell you the truth, I probably only saw maybe 3 new films this past year, and I don't think any of them are getting nominated for anything. But
well, there's all kinds of politically correct criteria that they now have to even qualify to be nominated. So it's disingenuous art right from deception.
Yeah, it's really just kind of a group of people patting themselves on the back and giving themselves awards. And every year, for several years now, the ratings have dropped and dropped and dropped. I don't know if they can drop any lower, but then I didn't think Biden's approval rating could drop any lower. It's the only thing that's not going up in our economy. So, wow. Okay, just had to get some of those things out of the way, because there's new things that we talk about. I tend to ramble and get on rabbit trails, and so we'll try to get back on track here. So tonight I wanted to spend some time talking about things that people believe that they should not believe. We'll start with politicians. I don't know why people still believe on either side, really, there are very few Republicans that I will really take wholeheartedly and think that they're telling the truth, they're speaking with conviction. But the whole political process is kind of a joke. So we spent enough time on that. Here's one of the things that I fear. I hear more and more people making reference to or speaking to, even if they don't use the words, but the whole concept of karma, that, you know, that you will get back.
Which comes out of Eastern mysticism.
Yeah, it does.
And should not be mixed into Christianity.
But it is, and Westerners, and particularly, you know, people, even people, you know, that don't call themselves Christians, I think people really believe this. They think, you know, the whole pay it forward thing and all that. If you do good things, it will come back to you. And if you do bad things, then you will pay for it.
I suppose if somebody was just using it as part of the vernacular, as a figure of speech, I wouldn't have a problem. But if they're literally attaching a belief behind karma, then it does come out of Hinduism. Hindus are very sincere people. I'm not knocking that. But Hinduism and Christianity is not even remotely similar. One's talking about God and the universe being one and the same, and the other's talking about God as the creator of the universe. You could not possibly have two more diametrically opposed views of God.
But I think Westerners, American people, I think it really opened up in the 60s with the drug use. And as much as I love the Beatles and their music, they introduced an awful lot of pollution into our minds and into our pop culture. And Eastern religion was certainly one that just boomed when they got, you know, got into the Maharishi and they were reading the Tibetan Book of the Dead and all this kind of stuff. So now, here we are, a couple of generations removed, and people just kind of, they just kind of buy into that stuff. And along with that, one of the things, and you just made reference to it, is that all religions are the same. And you and I know that there couldn't be anything more.
Yeah, we're making reference to the fact that a lot of people believe that, not to the fact that you and I believe that.
Right, but people do believe that. I hear people say, well, it doesn't matter which religion, as long as, you know, as long as you believe something.
Well, and here's what's interesting, Jim. When people say that all religions are right, they're really saying that all religions are wrong. And you could prove that to them in two minutes, because you can say, well, the religions contradict themselves. How can they all be right? They'll tell you the contradictions do not matter. Well, if the contradictions don't matter, that's because they're assuming that they're all man-made developed beliefs and fantasies anyway. So what difference does it make if they contradict? If they were really equating religion as a search for truth, then they wouldn't be talking that way.
Yeah. And of course, I think we've become very, very shallow as a culture. And so we toss around words. And honestly, I think a lot of people just repeat what they've heard. And even more terrifying, they repeat what they've read on social media and haven't read books. I've read philosophy and I've studied religions. And you've done even more so, being an apologist. But most people haven't studied any of those things in depth.
No, Facebook and Twitter and YouTube is almost the extent of it. Okay, Jim, hold with me over the break. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show. Special guest tonight, Jim Barrier.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Well, that's our homage to the Academy Awards tonight. Music from the motion picture La La Land, the one that they announced was Best Picture of the Year and then had to get up and go, say, you know what? We announced the wrong movie. Although it was the right movie, actually, because it won 6 Academy Awards that year, more than any other movie, and it won Best Director and it won Best Actress. So I think of it as the Best Picture that year. But that has nothing to do with the fact that my guest tonight is Jim Barrier.
Okay. You know, if we got up on the Oscars, aside from the political stuff, which has ruined it for me, there have been times when I thought there was injustice in the voting system. One of the ones I could never figure out was the movie A Beautiful Mind. I thought it was a great film, and I think it won the Movie of the Year, and it had Best Director. But Russell Crowe did not win the Best Actor, and if it weren't for him, the movie wouldn't have had anything, but I don't know. So I never understand those things.
Well, because different people in different categories are voting. Actors nominate actors, directors nominate directors. I believe that in the voting, though, any member of the Academy could vote. So
yeah, but anyway, so enough about the Oscars. They're probably getting more ratings on this show than they are viewers on TV. Now, we're talking about things that people in general, in our culture, I notice, you know, from knowing Americans, Western minds, people, things that people believe or think or will say that really are not rooted in truth. And that's the very heart of the issue right there is the word truth. I've told you this story before, but my neighbor one time said to me, I don't believe that anything is absolute. And I said, you realize that's an absolute statement.
Yeah, he's saying there's absolutely no such thing as absolute truth. So he's making an absolute statement while he's saying it.
Yeah, and assuming that what he's saying is true. So, but there that really is a dominating philosophy in our culture that, you know, well, what is true for you is fine, but it's not true for me. This disturbs me because it's like the Supreme Court Justice nominee that we talked about. Well, I can't say what a woman is because there's no definitive.
And these are the people running our country, Jim. These are the people running our country.
I know. And so, but I hear this kind of stuff all the time. And you know, what's good for you is good for you. You remember there in the 60s and 70s, there was this poster, you do your thing. And I do.
Oh, yeah. Do your own thing. Do your own thing.
I'm not here to live up to your expectations and blah, 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 blah. I took that poem and put it underneath a picture of Hitler.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Of course, now I'm in trouble. I said the H word, but.
Yeah, all conversations go back to Hitler these days. People always want to ascribe him to the other side, the side they are not on.
Yeah. Yeah, and I wanted to say to my neighbor when he said that it's all relative, there's nothing is true, nothing is right or wrong. And I wanted to slap him across the face and say, well, then it's okay for me to do that, right? Because that's what I felt like doing. And so, you know, I could beat the tar out of you, and it's okay. I think he'd change his philosophy real quick. So I don't know. That's a biggie, though, the notion that there is no absolute truth. And, of course, I disagree with that, and I know you disagree with that. I think that real truth is absolute. It's universal. It doesn't change. And what happens now, the reason this is important, is because then we have issues like gender, gender preference. What type of relationship can I be in? And this is going to bleed over when we start talking about things that people in the church believe, Christians believe. But right now, it is very unpopular for you to say that marriage is between a man and a woman. As defined by, I can define what a man is and what a woman is. It's pretty easy.
Yeah, and you know 20 years ago, you might have had some liberal that said, I don't think marriage has to be defined as a man and a woman, but they weren't claiming that you were a bigot and a racist and a hate monger for believing it. That's how much we've changed in the last 20 years.
Yeah, they are now. And there are people that have sown seeds a couple of presidents ago, Barry, I like to call him, he made this statement, well, I don't think that we should take some obscure passage out of the book of Romans and make that the standard.
There's nothing obscure about that passage. It was extremely clear. He just didn't like what it was saying.
Right. And the fact is, Romans was Paul's thesis.
And you get rid of Paul, you've gotten rid of half the books of the New Testament. Oh, I accept Jesus, I don't accept Paul. You just wiped out half the New Testament.
Yeah. But that's the kind of thing we're dealing with, and especially younger generation, you know, my children and my children's children, they hear this stuff at school, they hear it from the friends, they hear it on social media, so they repeat it, they parrot what they've heard, and when the teachers are teaching lies, then the trusting students and children who hear these things just consider that must be true. I've used an example about things, about the education system, as particularly higher education. I don't know if we should even call it that anymore. But, you know, as you know, I'm a music buff, and I was working in a store one time, and I had a college student who was a coworker. He worked part-time, and he came in one day, and he said to me, Rush is the greatest rock band in history. Now, you might not even be familiar with that group, Bob, but it's a
I'm familiar with the name. I haven't listened to a lot of their stuff, but I know they were a rock band.
You could probably go to the mall and ask people to name the three members of the band and more than one song by the band, and most people couldn't. But I said, Rush is the greatest rock band ever? And I said, you know, you might have some fans of the Beatles and the Rolling Stones and U2, and I named a number of bands that might think that's kind of ludicrous. And he said, no. I said, why do you think that? He said, because my music teacher said so.
Oh, well, there you go. If his music teacher said so.
And so it must be true. He's a music professor.
But see, I get that from students all the time. They will quote, my professor said so. And then Christians will do the same thing. My pastor said so, rather than this is what I read in the Bible.
Yeah, exactly. So there's a problem with that. So all of that, truth has been under attack for a couple of generations now. And you know that, you know, even with the Bible, you go back for 100 years ago and higher criticism and some German theologians that started saying, well, we pick and choose which part of the Bible we like. All of the Bible isn't true. And as soon as you do that, you're in trouble. And I know you know that. And so, but that's one of another one of the things that is problematic. Now, this one is perplexing to me. I find this amusing, almost. Most people believe in paranormal experiences and existence of things that are otherworldly. Not God, not Jesus, but they believe in all kinds of things.
Yeah, and yet if you want to say, okay, there are intelligent lives outside of Earth, such as demons, such as angels, then you get laughed off the block for saying it. But if you want to be open to some other dimension or planet out there in some other galaxy, that's fine.
Yeah, that's all fine. By the way, I think spirit beings, angels, demons, and the like, I think that's my explanation for an awful lot of the so-called paranormal activity. I would even go so far as to say that some of the UFO stuff that people are so obsessed with, I think a lot of that could be very, you know, could be spiritual stuff.
But it could be demonic deception, but on the other hand, some people act like if some astronaut from another planet landed and announced that they didn't believe in God, that would end the discussion. And I say, well, wait a minute. We've sent up astronauts ourselves that don't believe in God. That doesn't mean anything. If that happened, if an astronaut from another planet came and said he didn't believe in God, all it would mean is that guy didn't believe in God. Wouldn't say jack diddly squat about whether there really was a God.
And the fact is, an awful lot of our astronauts do believe in God.
Well, that's true. They get up there and they see this beautiful planet surrounded by darkness and stars, and it's an amazing sight.
I remember I called them the three wise men of Christmas Eve. the three astronauts that orbited the moon for the first time and were out of communication while they went around the dark side of the moon, when they came back, they read from Genesis 1. And I thought, those were the three wise men. That was one of the greatest moments in the whole race for space for me. I love that. Here's one of the statements that I love to hate. Everything happens for a reason. I had to sit down and have a long talk with one of my kids about
it. I guess it would depend on what somebody means by that. When we're talking about a sovereign God, we could maybe argue that he's allowing things to happen for some kind of reason, but that's probably not what everybody means when they say that.
That's a different thing. That's like taking the little tiny portion of Romans 8:28 and saying, all things work together for good. Well, there's a lot more to it than that. But this notion of everything happens for a reason is like, okay, this terrible thing, this unpredictable thing, something happens. Well, everything happens for a reason. And what?
You mean as if they're trying to justify it or rationalize it happening?
Yeah. And what it does, it opens the door to fatalism. You know, everything is Allah's will. If some person in my family gets raped and beaten and brutalized, well, everything happens for a reason.
Well, fatalism is awfully close to a theology which I don't share, and I don't believe you share it either, called Calvinism. More on that when we return to the Bob Siegel Show. This is Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in three serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. Houses burned down. If you wanted a guarantee, you should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric, license number 480539, WNS Electric.
Bob Siegel's novels may start out looking like typical stories, but in no time at all, they go directions you would never have dreamed about. Just listen to the premise of Bob Siegel's unusual story, Choice of the Lorelei. Martha Flannery, an aggressive missionary, sets out for the Frisian Islands to convert the newly discovered tribe called Reinu. Here she enters into a strong battle of wills with Dr. Connors, a cultural anthropologist who wants to protect the Reinu people from outside influence, especially evangelism. Connors' strange manners and obsession with the Reinu are only the first of several eerie mysteries, including previous visitors to the island who never returned home, and an elderly gentleman claiming to be 4,000 years old. Choice of the Lorelei. Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. And now, hold on to your seats. It's time once again for another episode of Stump Jim Barrier.
All right, Jim, are you ready?
I don't know. What are you going to land me this time?
So I had a look first because it was Oscar night to see if I could find anything interesting for best original song for a film. Interesting song to me is You Light Up My Life by, what's her name? The very famous.
Did that win the Academy Award for Best Song
for that year?
I always thought that was a mediocre song. I agree, personally. 100%.
So instead
that was Debbie Boone, right?
Debbie Boone.
Right. That was Pat Boone's daughter, right?
That's right. Pat Boone. That's right.
Yes, it was.
Instead, I decided to go with a random number generator, and we're going to go to the year 1969. This was the number one song this week in 1969.
Oh, my. Dizzy, Tommy Rowe.
That is correct. Ding, ding, ding. Good job.
Very good.
I had to hear the drums. I had to hear the drums there.
Yeah.
And that was the thing.
Can you...
Tommy Rowe had three or four hits, and they always had a little drum solo in there.
Do you know who was the back band, by any chance? If you had to guess.
Oh come on! He had a back band?
No, this was a very famous Los Angeles session musicians. That helped him.
So it was the Wrecking Crew.
Yes, good job.
Al Blaine's Wrecking Crew.
Yeah, I thought these guys were the back band themselves.
I was going to guess that because in the 60s, all the Motown stuff was the Funk Brothers. The same house musicians played for all of the Motown groups. All of the L.A. West Coast people, it was Hal Blaine's Wrecking Crew. And then there was a group called the Swampers down south in Alabama. They backed up a lot of people. They were great. So it's funny how many songs were done by just a handful of musicians. There you go.
Yeah. Okay. One last interesting fact. Produced by Steve Barry, that song. And you might know Steve Barry from Secret Agent Man.
P.F. Sloan.
Yeah,
Steve Barry and Phil Sloan wrote some great songs, and Secret Agent Man was one of them, of course.
Yeah. He wouldn't be related to Chuck Berry, would he?
As far as I know, no.
No. Barry, B-A-R-R-I. By the way, they wrote some of my favorite songs, and they're not household names like Lennon and McCartney or Hammerstein and Rogers or anything like that, but they wrote some great stuff. Phil Sloan, P.F. Sloan, wrote some of my favorite songs. We're going to go out on music here. Reel it back in.
Oh, well, very, very quickly, I just want to say he also produced...
Okay, yeah.
He also produced very own Barry Maguire's Eve of Destruction as well.
Exactly. So, Eve of Destruction was another song that P.F. Sloan wrote.
Good job, Jim. And, good job.
Okie doke. All right. You know, he really tests me, you know. I get nervous about this.
I hope you're not losing too much sleep over it, Jim.
No, I'm not.
Because we have just as much fun when you screw it up as when you get it right.
Yeah, well, I have fun, you know, just the challenge of it. And then the little nuances. Brandon and I both have these little details, all the stuff that nobody really cares about. That's why they call it trivia. So I love that. All right, I want to do one last belief that people have or statement that people make. That it just bugs the heck out of me, and it sounds very noble, but it's just not right. And this is, you can't legislate morality.
Oh, that's such nonsense, because that's what everybody does. All legislation is based on somebody's view of morality. So if it's not one thing, it's something else.
Yeah. If you say...
It's wrong to murder, that's a moral standard. It's a moral standard that it's wrong to murder. Yeah. It's wrong to steal. Yeah, it's utter nonsense.
Drunk driving. Go down the list. All of it is legislated.
What they mean is you can't legislate morality that I personally don't agree with. That's what they mean when they say that.
That's really what it means when you get down to it. But that one just, I hate that one. I've heard Christians say that to me. I've had Christian friends say, well, you know, you can't legislate morality. You know, if you talk about, you know, pro-choice or pro-life or those kind of things. Well, you know, you can't
I talked to an atheist one time who was telling me that his biggest problem with Christians is that they'd go and they'd have these marches against abortion. And he considered that wrong because Christians are getting involved in politics. I said, so when we had the March on Washington led by the Reverend Martin Luther King, a Christian minister, marching for civil rights, that was wrong. He goes, no, that was appropriate. I said, okay, then you don't have a problem with Christians being involved with politics. You have a problem with Christians taking political viewpoints that you disagree with. Let's be clear about what you have a problem with.
That really is the deal. Now let's talk about some things that Christians believe or say that really is not rooted in truth or the Bible. Now one of them is a hobby horse for you and I, at least for me, and this is the whole the prosperity gospel, the positive confession. And there's an antithesis to that. It's the negative confession. And don't say something, because if you do, it's going to happen.
Which really is no different than that karma belief that you were talking about.
Yeah, it is. You know, and I've had people, you know, people say, well, don't confess that. That's a negative confession. And I'm thinking, you know, if that was true, if you made a negative confession and it happened, then the prophet said, who said to God, kill me now, it is enough, then God would have killed him, right?
Yeah.
Confessed it.
It makes zero sense.
The positive thing, if I confess something, it's kind of, you know what? I'm going to confess that I can dunk a basketball on a standard hoop that's 10 feet high.
Why stop with that? Stand up on a cliff and confess that you can fly and then try it.
I can fly. Yeah.
And then they'll say, well, if you didn't succeed, you didn't have enough faith.
You didn't have enough faith. Oh, my gosh. You know, boy, you get into that stuff. I get a little worked up about that kind of thing. Years ago, when that whole movement started, it was very popular. One of the big five, one of the guys that was a part of that thing, he made a statement, if Paul would have had the faith that I have, he wouldn't have had to ask God to remove the thorn from his flesh. Really?
Yeah, never mind that God spoke to Paul personally and said it was not his will to remove the thorn from his flesh.
Yeah, and he said, my grace is sufficient. But they make this kind of stuff.
This all evaporated in 2020. How many of these prosperity churches were willing to stay open and trust God and have faith? They all shut down with the government mandates about the masks. And back then, it wasn't even just the mask. We weren't allowed to go out in public at all. And they went along with it hook, line, and sinker. And yet these are the people talking about all the marvelous faith they had and God wants us healthy. Well, fine.
Yeah,
so you can't trust God that he could maybe protect people from COVID?
If
they're going to take their logic to its extreme?
Yeah, it's just ludicrous. There's a church here in San Antonio where I live, and I have friends that were actually in leadership in that church. They left finally because they started seeing through it. But they would have they had a faith healer for a pastor, and they would have healing services, and they would call people down there. You know, people could come forward for healing, but before they would pray for them, the pastor or whoever the elders were that were part of the prayer team, they would say, "Do you believe that God will heal you?" And if the person couldn't confess with 100% confidence, then they wouldn't pray for him.
Yeah, and I would say I believe God can heal me, but it's going to be according to his will.
Yeah, exactly. But when I heard that, I said, you know what? They're absolutely unscriptural, because in James it says, if anyone is sick, let him call to the elders of the church, and the prayer of faith will raise them up. It's not the person who's sick who needs the faith. It's the elders that are praying for them. And so that's on you, Pastor. That's on you. If you're telling people that they can't get healed because they don't have enough faith, where's your faith, Buster?
Yeah, it's a theology that's done great destructive harm to Christianity, because when people don't get all the things on their genie Aladdin's lamp wish list, then they start telling themselves that Christianity isn't true.
Yeah.
So they throw the baby out with the bathwater.
And their faith gets shipwrecked. I've had people that have bailed out on Christianity completely because they tried that stuff and said it doesn't work. I said, well, you weren't trying Bible Christianity. You were trying some guy's snake oil version. But anyway.
That's a good way to put it. Okay, more about the snake oil version when we return. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
Bob Siegel not only writes fiction, but nonfiction as well. Over the years, Bob has received wonderful comments about his book on Christian apologetics entitled, I'd Like to Believe in Jesus, But... Many have put this book in the hands of their seeking, unbelieving friends, and the book takes it from there. This is because the book has a rhetorical skeptic that argues with Bob about the harder, less frequently discussed questions. As a result, the reader is immediately aware that they are reading from an author who relates to them. The moment they find themselves questioning something they see, their very question appears in the text. Every question in this book was one that was personally put to Bob during his many years of speaking on college campuses. I'd Like to Believe in Jesus, But... Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. Always good to be with my good friend for one more segment, Jim Barrier.
I think we can do this. Now, the next part, and this is things that Christians believe. This is kind of a two-part thing. It's a two-sided coin or an antithesis, if you will. The first half of it is that you can be saved by works. If you do enough good things, you get into heaven or you'll be in God's. This is funny. It's kind of a play on words, God's graces, if you do enough good works. But people do it. They think that their standing with God is determined, or their eternal destiny, if you will, is determined by if they're good enough and do enough good things. I can't tell you how many times I've visited people in the hospital, and they'll say, I don't know why God is doing this to me. What did I do wrong to deserve this? And it just doesn't work that way. If it was a matter of us being able to save ourselves by works, we'd all be doomed.
Well, and the very word gospel means good news, and the essence of that good news is that God forgave us, even though we were sinners who did not deserve to be in his kingdom.
Yeah, and so we don't believe, I know you don't believe it, I don't believe that we can be saved by works, any amount of good works. But then what happens is there's a reaction formation, and people flip over and they say, well, works don't save me, so works don't matter. So it doesn't matter if I sin, because we're all sinners, and so it doesn't matter if I sin.
Well, now they're going too far the other way, because even though it's an undeserved gift, the gift is that God's Spirit comes inside of us to change us. So we are forgiven, but he does expect us to repent with his help, and we couldn't do it without his supernatural help, but he does expect that repentance.
And exactly. And it bothers me when I talk to Christians who take the issue of sin, and yes, I believe that there is sin, and I believe it's defined, and it's very easy to identify. And people, they just kind of laugh it off or blink and say, well, it doesn't matter. I'm going to heaven and God forgives me, which is knocking on the door to universalism or universal reconciliation.
Well, and if some pastor or some other Christian gave them that false assurance, that person will be held accountable before God.
I agree. And that's why we talk about these things, why I like to talk about these subjects on the radio. And so many times, Bob, as a pastor, I pastored for 40 years, and I'm still a pastor. I just don't have a door with a name on it or a salary to go along with it. But I did a wedding last night.
I don't know, Jim. Our contract for you being on the show was contingent upon that door with the name of it. We may have to reevaluate this.
You do what you have to do, Bob. It's an honor to be on the show. So if you'll still have me, I'll be.
We'll still have you, Jim. The only door we care about here is Jesus, the door of life. See how I just threw that in? Just worked that in there.
That's good. So it bothers me when Christians take things lightly. But I used to say to my congregation routinely, don't walk out of here and say, well, Pastor Jim said, no. I don't mind if you can tell people what I said, but if you're going to base your belief system just because I said it, then you're doing me a disservice. Now, I really encouraged my people a lot to read the scripture, to study the scripture, and check it out and see if it's true and find out what you believe for yourself, because why you believe something is nearly as important as what you believe. And so Now, I would never put myself on your level as far as an apologist, but I would encourage people to study the scriptures and then get some books to help you with that. I love my Strong's Concordance because I can go in there, and if something seems a little fuzzy, especially if I'm reading King James or whatever, I can go in there and get the original intent of the author. What does the word really, you know, mean in a more deep sense? And I have volumes of books here on the authenticity of the scriptures. Got tons of books by you and other authors in the field of apologetics. I'm convinced that the Bible is true. I'm convinced that Jesus is who he claimed to be. But just because I believe that won't carry you over the threshold. You need to find that out for yourself and believe that. And I will answer your question. I'm always open. Ask me any question you've got. If I don't know the answer, my commitment is I will work real hard to try to find an answer for you. It's kind of a parallel to work ethic. People don't want to put in the work and they don't want to study. I spent most of my ministry years trying to reverse that pattern and get people to study and to pray and to learn on their own, because as I said for years, someday I won't be here with you. And when I retire, that was it. Now you're going to have to figure things out. So I still have people call me all the time, which brings me to something. You know, I have a podcast, as you do, and mine is titled Since You Asked. And so people ask questions, and I do a podcast trying to address the answer to that. And very recently, someone asked me a question. I gave them my quick answer. But they said, you know, why is Israel God's chosen nation? And I said, well, the brief answer is because God made a covenant with Abraham. But then the next question is, well, Abraham was not Jacob. So I want to ask you, Bob, I'm putting you on the spot off the top of your head. Does God's promise to Abraham that I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you, does that transfer to Isaac and to Jacob?
Well, yes, it does, because he said it transferred to all of his children. Those were his immediate children. It transfers to the entire Jewish race. And then he also said that through your people, all the descendants of the world will be blessed. So because Jesus was one of his descendants, it actually now translates over and transfers over to the Gentiles. And so the church is part of Israel too now.
I'm listening because I'm going to steal all of this and put it in my podcast.
Since You Asked with Jim Barrier, formerly The Bob Siegel Show.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, a good friend of mine, and you know, Wiki Pratney, always said, truth is never invented, it's only discovered. And
oh, that's
sure
good.
Heard
that's,
someone else say
yeah,
that.
I like Winky. I like Winky.
I do too. He called me just the other day. He's
say hi. He doesn't remember me. I met him when I was just a dumb college student and he came to our church. I doubt that he remembers me, but I was very influenced by his teaching.
Well, I certainly was too, and he's become a good friend over the years. He's stuck in New Zealand. It's like a little prison down there. They can't get off the island. He usually spends all year as summer. He spends half a year in New Zealand, then he comes up here to America, so he never has to deal with bad weather.
I have to say, it was refreshing to hear an evangelist with a New Zealand accent instead of the standard Southern accent. I used to think that they had classes on how to develop a Southern accent in seminary, just so you could be the Southern draw, silver-haired teacher. But I like, Winky Pratney from New Zealand. Very refreshing.
I know. That was part of his... part of the attraction, his cute little accent, and he's very funny also. But
well, that's why I'm a big Monty Python fan, but I haven't figured out yet if I'm laughing at the jokes or if half the laughter is just that British accent.
Oh, man.
She's dead, am not.
I have three friends here locally, and a church that I was on staff at when I first moved here. I happened to walk in, and these three guys are all, I don't know what triggered it, but they all started doing the TV evangelist voice.
Yeah, and there you just, go, with the Southern accent.
Hilarious. I saw a guy today, and actually I really like him. It's a great message, and I love the church, and I do a lot of good music stuff. But he's very emotional. And some of these guys are very dramatic and emotional. And I wonder, if you went to lunch with him, would he talk like that? I don't know.
It depends. Probably not. All right, Jim, it's always great having you on. We'll have you on again in a couple of weeks.
Awesome.
All right. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show. We will see you next time.
Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by the law offices of Matthew Simone.